40 years after being convicted of murder, 75-year-old Robert Briest continues to fight for his freedom. Briest made headlines in 2000 when he became the first prisoner in New Hampshire to have post-trial DNA testing performed. Results of that test and three subsequent tests proved inconclusive, and Briest has remained behind bars. Now, a fifth test has revealed something interesting, something his lawyers say demands a new trial. And HBR's Todd Bookman has the story.
On the night of February 27th, 1971, Susan Randall met a friend for pizza. She was wearing a vintage fur coat, and after leaving the restaurant shortly after midnight, a woman fitting her description was observed hitchhiking near Manchester's Granite Square. Witnesses say a white car driven by a lone man stopped to pick her up. Randall's body, badly beaten and naked from the waist down, would be found 2 days later, thrown from a bridge onto the frozen Merrimack River in Concord.
She never had a life. She didn't have a chance for a life. She was 18 when she was murdered. At the prime of her life, she had just graduated, was going to Chamberlain School of Design in the fall, worked two jobs.
Sally Randall Hembry lives in Manchester, less than a mile from where her younger sister was said to be picked up by that white car. She pulls out a tattered folder of press clippings along with Susan's yearbook photo.
It's not a good picture of her, but she had kind of a light olive skin, big brown eyes, dark, dark brown hair. There always was a sadness about Susie for some reason. You can see it in her eyes. Don't her eyes look sad? I don't know.
The random nature of the crime and the victim, a young, pretty girl, sparked a wave of attention. Attorney Tom Rath remembers it well.
It was, for the time, and given the mediascape of the moment, a very big deal.
Warren Rudman was attorney general. Rath, a young prosecutor, assigned his first major case. The state would spend months gathering evidence, evidence it said squarely pointed to a Massachusetts carpenter, Robert Briest. The night of the murder, Briest had been moving furniture in his white 67 Ford sedan between a house in Manchester and an apartment in Lowell. During a three-week trial, the state presented evidence that fibers from the victim's coat were found in that Ford, that there were bloodstains on his boots, scratches on his hands, and type A blood found underneath Randall's fingernails, the same blood type as Briest. And the state relied on another key piece of evidence, a jailhouse confession made to another inmate with a criminal past.
David Corita is a liar. Well, is a liar. Was a liar. This is a guy with zero credibility.
New York-based lawyer Ian Dumain is now working to clear Robert Briest, who's been imprisoned since 1973. Dumain argues that the confession was made up, that David Corita was a jailhouse snitch offered leniency by the state to tell a story on the stand. Along with the confession, Corita testified that Briest told him that he acted alone. Dumain says new DNA evidence contradicts that theory. Blood collected from under Randall's fingernails was retested in 2012 and found to contain a second and possibly a third man's DNA.
All of the evidence that we've heard and seen is about this guy, Bob Briest, being by himself, picking up Susan Randall and killing her by himself. So who is this second guy? Where did he come from? And if the state hasn't explained to us what the DNA from the second person is doing underneath Susan Randall's fingernails, well, they're not right. They're not right about what happened that night.
Dumain first learned about Robert Briest's case through the Innocence Project, which seeks to exonerate criminals through DNA testing. He's filed a 109-page legal appeal based on the new evidence. No one in the AG's office was available for comment, but in a court filing last week, the state notes that the latest DNA samples, like the four previous tests, do not rule Briest out as a source. The state also argues that DNA cannot be time-stamped, that there's no way of knowing how long the other person's DNA had been under Randall's fingernails, a second, a day, or a week before her death. A hearing on the motions has not been scheduled. In the meantime, Briest remains held in a Massachusetts prison, where he was transferred to be closer to family. His wife and children have stayed by his side. In 1995, Dumain says the state offered him parole, but only if he admitted guilt.
Briest has never done that. He has said he will never do that because he did not commit the crime.
Attorney Tom Rath disputes that claim. The verdict has withstood numerous other appeals since the 1973 conviction. He doesn't expect Briest to be successful with this latest effort.
That was a very, very well-tried, well-thought-out prosecution, and it has withstood the test of time, and I think with good reason, because I think the jury got it right.
For Sally Hembree, the appeals have made it impossible to put her sister's death behind her.
It's like it never ends, and it won't end till the day he dies. It will never end.
There's one other unrelated footnote to the Robert Briest case. In 1969, 2 years before the Randall murder, a female friend of Briest's disappeared. The body of Luella Blakeslee was found nearly 20 years later. The state's cold case unit labels Briest a suspect. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.